And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi there.
Boy, what a day, huh? We're going to spend the entire hour talking about the impeachment trial, which is a bit of history. Has not happened in a bunch of years, only the third time in history. What do you think, Kyle?
I think it's legitimate.
I do, too. And that's about all I think we're going to say about it, because actually it's Monday. It's the day before the impeachment trial, so we can't really talk about it, other than to say it probably happened today.
Yeah, and there's probably a lot of developments as far as rules for the trial and also how each of the various parts of the Senate and legislatures will want to vote or not, and reading stuff about acquittals. I don't even know. There's so much to talk about. It's just going to have to play out, I think.
Yeah, and we're probably the worst people to talk about it because we haven't even seen it, and we will see it. By the time you're listening to this, we probably will know something about it, but we just aren't on the air. We're we got right back on a train after taking that long journey a couple of months ago. Because, you know what? I'm sorry, but these New York winters, I can't handle the New York winters anymore. Maybe I'm getting older, maybe it's, you know, I'm just getting cranky or something like that, but I just get really, really annoyed, and I need some respite from it all. So we've gotten on a train, and we're just heading out of New York because we can't take the winters anymore.
Indeed, yeah. And to be fair, we're all getting older, so, I mean, that's just a fact. But I agree that we've not seen quite the snowfall you'd expect. I have seen more as we go, but...
It's a question of... we're just impatient with the amount of snow we're getting. We don't feel we're getting enough. It was a nice gesture. It snowed a couple of days ago. Of course, it got warm right after that, and most of the snow went away. So we just got fed up and said, you know what? That's not what New York winter should be. It's not what it used to be. So we're heading north. We're on the Adirondack. That's the train that goes from New York to Montreal. Leaves once a day. 8:15 in the morning. Oh, my God. But we made it.
Yeah, it's cool to be on a new line once again. One thing I have noticed is that there is a little bit more snow, as I said, and it seems like our little snow scraper for our windshield, it's like really tiny, you know? But what I've noticed is where there is more snow, people have really large snow scrapers to get like big mounds of like a foot of snow off their vehicles. So it's a good sign, because I'm seeing a lot more of those type of little, you know what I'm talking about, little plastic scrapers. Well, these are the big ones. They look like the size of a broom, and I think I've seen at least four of them now on the way. And apparently, I think they got like a lot of snow up in Canada, and in other parts of the world, it's actually winter.
Well, yeah, in Newfoundland, in fact, they got 4 feet, or maybe it's 3 feet. I don't want to exaggerate, but it's just in one snowfall, and they have more coming. So they know how to do it up there. Of course, that was like a biblical blizzard, if that's such a thing. But we're seeing snow now. We're just north of Albany, and there's snow on the ground, so I'm happy about that. And, of course, by the time we get to Montreal, not only will there be snow, but it'll be cold. Like, we're talking minus 20 on the Celsius scale, which is, I believe, below zero on the Fahrenheit scale. Do you know where Fahrenheit and Celsius meet?
Yes.
Where?
Negative 40.
That's right. Minus 40 degrees. That is where Fahrenheit and Celsius are the same temperature. I don't know if we'll experience that, but I'd like to, you know, just to see what it feels like and try some experiments and see what kinds of things happen. But here's something you can do in New York. If you're up early, like we were today, go to Penn Station, and you'll hear something funny, because they make an announcement for this train. This is a unique train because it crosses the border. So there's an announcement saying that you have to present your documents for inspection, except the woman reading it is a robot. I'm not insulting her. She really is a robot. It's an automated voice that apparently was not trained on how to pronounce the word present. So she pronounces it as present. So you'll hear an announcement saying, please present your documents. But you have to get there around 7:30 or so in the morning. It's worth a trip just to hear that. They might do it for the Toronto train, too, but I don't know what time that leaves. But, you know, Penn Station, you gotta work on the robots a little bit better than that. If course, if you've had similar issues, we'd like to hear about them. otw@2600.com is our email address. What else? It's great to be back on the train. This is not a sleeper type train. This is just basically you get two coaches in the front, a snack car, and two coaches in the back, and they put all the Montreal people in the back two cars, which is fine. There was a long line to get onto the train at Penn Station, which we opted not to stand on. We decided to have a bagel instead. And when we got on the line, it was very long, but all the people going to Montreal, there was plenty of space for them because they were segregated, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and it was very busy at the station, as you might imagine, for a Monday, although a holiday. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yeah, and that kind of thwarted my efforts at getting to Penn Station. I was originally planning, since the train was so early, to take one of those god-awful early trains at like 4 in the morning or something that rush hour people take it. I even worked out a ride from one of my friends who does this, except it turned out to be a holiday and there was no rush hour train, so there would have been no way for us to get there by the time our train left, so we had to spend the night in New York City, and that was something.
Yeah, and just a slight adjustment and we were able to be rested and make the train, so we adjusted and found our way. But
yeah, absolutely. So we're going to keep chugging along here and hopefully make it across the border without any issues. We have to fill out this customs form they handed to us. You notice they ask you now if you bring any cannabis products into Canada.
Yeah.
We have... on cannabis or goods containing cannabis. So that's what they're asking you to declare. We don't, but it's interesting that question is there. I don't understand the part at the bottom, because it says complete in the same order as part A, which is where you put your name, date of birth, all that stuff. And then the first thing says date left Canada, YYMMDD. What does that mean, date left Canada? I haven't left Canada. I'm entering Canada. So what do I put there?
That's a good question. I think that's also for things that you are listing to declare. And if you don't have anything, then you don't have to put the values and those sorts of things. Maybe that's the goods or something that value. It says value of goods, purchased or received.
It doesn't say only fill this out if you're declaring value of goods. It's like... It's under part C that says residents of Canada. I didn't see that.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
It confused me because it said complete in the same order as part A, so I was looking up at part A. Okay, so we figured that out. That's good. Nothing worse than being confused at the border. So, how does it feel being back on a train after not much time being back from the last train journey?
It feels okay. I'm unsettled from all the coordinating, picking up and putting down, and as anyone would be when you're just trying to, get logistics down and make certain times, especially early in the morning, like you said. It's kind of ridiculous for us. But overall, I'm looking forward to spending some time away from the States and being back in Canada and, exploring a little bit.
Yeah, it's such a positive place to go for us. It's just people seem to appreciate nature a lot more, and of course, right now they seem to appreciate democracy a lot more. And it's just they appreciate winter a lot more too. I was watching since we get Canadian TV, I was watching a Canadian newscast from I think it was Calgary, it might have been Edmonton, where the temperature was minus 35 Celsius. Which is getting pretty close to that where it meets Fahrenheit. There was this a person on the street interview. You stand there with a microphone and ask people, so, how's your day? Everybody was into the cold. They were all like, well, it's better than sitting on the couch, eh? It's better than complaining about it. That's why we're up here. We like the cold. We like the north. Not a single person complained. It was amazing to see just the spirit that people have in situations like that.
Yeah, people kind of accept that they are really just visitors, or they're sort of on the land's terms, where our mentality is really like, staking claims and molding the land to fit us And it's not like that. It's not a really, it's sort of a counterintuitive, it's not a really good way to really deal with nature, because nature will surprise you, I think.
Oh yeah, all the time. Speaking of nature, I was seeing quite a bit of it on the way up. Anything stand out to you looking out the window?
I just noticed more snow. I mean, a lot more snow, a lot of skidoo tracks. We call them snowmobiles in the U.S., but I believe they're called skidoos in Canada.
Yes, and I believe you had the Hudson River side. We're on separate sides of the cars. You were looking at the Palisades, I believe, at one point?
Yeah, and various like cliffs and lighthouses and the waterway and water crossings, like large bridges and smaller various bridges and even stairways, like abandoned stairways going over the train tracks to access the water.
You saw that one old factory building that's abandoned that was on the water.
Yeah, it was really cool. I love that old brick architecture and how the sort of shell of a building can just stay and people honor it a little bit, at least by not demolishing it wholesale, and maybe it's waiting for someone to repurpose.
There's a lot of old architecture in upstate New York. By that I mean, you know, Poughkeepsie and Schenectady and places like that, that you just see these old brick buildings. You see advertisements, faded advertisements painted on the side of them. There's a lot of history, and I hope that all these towns come back and become vibrant, because they really have some good buildings.
Yeah, I saw really cool neon work too. One of the train yards for Amtrak has a very old neon Amtrak sign, which is kind of cool. It's like three-sided. I also noticed in where is it? Not Schenectady? Maybe it is Schenectady. But the General Electric factory was enormous. I have a feeling they probably make airplane engines there or other industrial goods, and their main entrance has an enormous neon sign, which wasn't lit when we were going by, but it's just this really gigantic structure on top of the building, and I thought that was pretty fantastic to see. Again, it's one of those older things that we don't build as much of that or anything like it, but it was a staple back when you had big businesses and factories like that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of old architecture and brick buildings and things like that. I'm also a big fan of frozen over lakes. I'm looking at one now, one that's partially frozen. So that's, you know, snow seems to be here to stay for a while, so that's always a good thing to see in winter. So it's really good to get away from the wimpy winter we're having back home. Maybe something will happen while we're away, and we can come back and go sledding.
We'll be ready for it, whatever it is.
Yes. We'll report back as we progress, and maybe we'll report back from Canada as well. I'm sorry we're not talking about the impeachment trial, but you know what? I think a lot of people probably are happy we're not talking about the impeachment trial. You know, just tune to any other station. No, don't do that now. And don't do it during Finn's show either. But at some point, tune to another station, or, you know, turn on a television set, or stick your head out a window. Everybody's talking about it, so you don't need us to talk about this. But my observations from not seeing it, it's dramatic, it's solemn, it's historic, it's a lesson. Bob? Fort Edwards. That sounds familiar for some reason. Maybe there are different Fort Edwards. But that's where we are right now. We will be back later. We still won't know anything about the impeachment trial, but maybe you can write in and tell us.
Mon nom, on travaille aujourd'hui, on travaille. rabbi to leper, old rabbi who tabas tea. Mes mains sont noires à cochon. Mes mains sont noires à cochon. 36 jours et 36 nuits, old rabbi who tabas tea. Oui, ma blonde, elle attend. Oui, ma blonde, elle attend après moi. Je vais retourner avec beaucoup d'argent. Oh, driver, donne-moi une chance. Oh, driver, donne-moi une chance. Avez-vous du feu pour ma cigarette? Ce soir, on va au village. Oui, ce soir, on va au village. Chanter la chanson, boire la boisson.
Problems. In fact, it was super fast. The whole, I mean, under 50 minutes. Doesn't sound super fast, but when you're dealing with an entire train, that's much faster than usual. And it's fun sitting there for almost an hour, you know, while everybody's processed. There's always one person that gets taken into the cafe car for questioning. This time it wasn't me. Actually, it's never been me going into Canada. It's only been me coming back sometimes. But, yeah, this time it went fairly smoothly, though there's always that kind of trepidation that, you know, you're sitting at a border and are they going to ask you something you can't answer or just look at you in the wrong way or something like that. So it's kind of tense, even though there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I always get like a little bit of an anxious feeling and a racing heart because you want to be calm, but you can kind of psych yourself out. And if you've been to enough border crossings, I think you get a little bit more used to what is usual and what to expect. And it's invariable, you know, you'll say something and not exactly answer right. And it was fairly old school. They were interviewing people while we were sitting in the train, much like we've experienced in other countries. They were speaking French and English, and basically just checking people out, and it seemed like there was a particular interest with economic activity, like what do you do, how do you make money. In fact, he was really trying to figure me out because he said I was a photographer, but I wasn't telling him how I made money, and then I had to kind of get around to what he was actually trying to get at.
They don't like abstract answers, they want particulars, and sometimes it takes a while to get to those particulars, but you know, we finally made it there, and everybody was happy in the end. I was watching what was going on. Actually, you had a better view because you could see that was a crossing station, right, with cars. A very few that went by, right? A
very, very small one, yeah. Just one booth and then two lanes to do secondary inspections and look the cars over if they desire. And I did see a couple cars get pulled in and then maybe four or five while we were sitting for the hour or so that just passed through normally.
And then the people who inspected our train got out and got into two cars and left.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Their little portable shed or office is shut down. Like, as soon as they left, I started seeing the lights go off, and then all five or however many, half a dozen walked out, and then they got into cars and went somewhere else.
What about the road crossing? Is that still open?
Oh, yeah, those guys just seem to be completely independent. So these border agents were coming in cruisers and vehicles and specifically opening up the train stop for this particular train. They're not there all the time, in other words, or they don't share duties. They just are mobile, it seemed.
Interesting. They had a shed?
Well, what do I want to say? A manufactured building? Portable is what we used to call it in elementary school? I don't know.
It's that's a shed.
A portable building with offices and yeah.
Why do they need a shed if they have cars and the train and another office with somebody? I guess if they don't work with that person.
The people that they were doing secondary inspections were going in there.
Oh, really? I thought they went into the cafe car.
Correct. Yeah, it was not being used in the way that we thought it would. They were actually being escorted into that portable building from the track, having, you know, interview or
and did they
search.
Come out again?
Yes, both of them did.
Good, okay. Only two, the whole train.
Both individuals that were pulled aside did.
Wow, okay, well, that was interesting. Another thing I noticed, which was kind of curious, as soon as we stopped, the lights went off for about 30 seconds to a minute, and then after it was over, lights went out again for 30 seconds to a minute. So it's kind of weird. It's something that gets turned off right before the inspection begins, and it gets turned off again right after it ends. Maybe we're switching locomotives or something, but that would only happen once. I don't know why it would happen twice.
I'm wondering if it had something to do with, like, locking people in or, you know, preventing people from doing anything in, like, bathrooms or other parts of the train. I'm not really sure. It was peculiar and very deliberate. It was definitely off for a bit on both ends of it.
A very short amount of time. I didn't feel a bump of another locomotive connecting, so I don't think that was what was going on. But somebody out there probably knows what that means, what they're doing. I think you're right. I think it's something being reset, and that's really the only way they can do it. There has to be a better way to do that, but I guess I haven't gotten around to that yet. Other things we've been noticing on the trip, and I know we've seen this before, but I have particularly a good view of it this time, are these little tiny telegraph poles, and that's exactly what apparently they were. They were used for telegraph along train lines. They're all abandoned and falling apart now, but they're really short. They're about 6 feet tall, and apparently they were used way long ago to have telegraph lines, not telephone lines, telegraph before telephones.
Yeah, I think they could be repurposed, but it was unusual that they would be repurposed. If there was, in other words, open wire system in a big city, it would probably already be for telephone or telegraph. But the train line ones, I think, as you said, the ones that are along the train are specifically telegraph and were never really for voice communication. But with regard to the telegraph poles, I noticed on a previous train ride on the Empire Builder route that they're actually removing them and piling them up every mile or so. And while you were noticing them here, I was reminded of that they're removing them from other train lines because they've been kind of derelict and, as you said, falling apart on the Empire Builder and other parts of the U.S. train system. And it struck me that for 100 years or 200 years, everyone who had ever ridden on those lines nationally in the U.S., their view of the country would have had those very open wire poles and lines right out their window. And now that's going to be completely different. The view of the nation, in other words, from a train is not going to have those telephone poles. And I was almost like time traveling, thinking of people in the 18th century looking at the very same thing as like a new technology.
1800s. I don't think we had trains in the 1700s, did we?
I'm sorry, 19th century.
Yes.
But yeah. Anyway, it is remarkable that there are still around, but after so long, maybe they'll be completely phased out.
Well,
and
what I want to know is, they're not using them. There's no wires. Well, there are some wires lying from some of them, and others have just fallen down completely. But I'd like to have one of these. I don't know how much they weigh. They're not very big. How would I go about just, you know, cutting one down and bringing it home?
Just like as a lawn ornament?
Why not? Like, it's not a real telephone pole. It's only about 6 feet tall. It's a piece of history.
You can definitely find them. Maybe one of our listeners would be able to put us onto it. I know in some museums, telephone museums and installations, they'll have examples of various poles and open wire and other telephone poles.
When you say open wire, can you describe what that means exactly?
Oh, it just means it's a copper or other kind of metal wire that is completely exposed. And often gets corroded or tarnished, but it's simply wire with no insulator, and it's wrapped in a specific way at each pole around a glass cap that sits on top of a peg, basically. Or it's threaded, and it screws onto a peg, a wooden peg, and that keeps the conductivity of the wire from dissipating elsewhere through, you know, metal, obviously. So it's really kind of fascinating, but it's essentially just open air, just no insulation.
And you wouldn't see that in other scenarios? Is it just what you'd see next to train lines?
Well, in big cities, of course, if you look at New York or Chicago, any large metropolitan area, often the photos of utilities and stuff would have stacks and stacks and stacks of these insulated open wire systems. As I said, sometimes for voice and sometimes for telegraph. They could be upgraded to voice. And eventually that open wire system began to be multiplexed so that you could use three wires and get four calls and doing different with switching. And that was sort of the early genesis of modern day switching, switch telephone calls. So it's pretty fascinating. But I think there are similar systems in high voltage transmission lines. They use sort of these stacked discs you'll see on big towers, and those are very similar. But they're instead often hanging the wire under, and the stacks of discs are ceramic instead of glass.
You're listening to Off the Wall. We are approaching Montreal. We are not talking about the impeachment trial because it's Monday. It's the day before. But wow, that was quite a day tomorrow, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I'm really I'm surprised. I didn't think it was going to go that way.
Okay, predict something. Just predict one thing.
They're going to get witnesses.
You think they'll get witnesses? That'd be awesome.
They're going to get at least one or two. They know it's a bad look, and they have to, just as a concession.
Well, I would be surprised by that. I would also be surprised if they just took a vote immediately to acquit. I think if they do that, there'll be riots in the street. There should be riots in the street if they do that. In fact, I think we should go back for the riots if that happens. What I would predict, I honestly don't know what to predict. I wish we were actually watching this. I wish we were in the... Do they have an audience for this? Or is the public allowed to even attend? I haven't really heard anything about that.
You know, I'm not exactly sure. There was a couple articles, I think you saw them as well. People may already be aware, but C-SPAN was having some difficulty with access, and I'm not sure that the entirety of it is going to be televised. There's invariably a record and recordings. But as far as it becoming a televised spectacle, I'm not exactly sure what the plan is. But I do know that C-SPAN, for one, is a little bit upset because some of their access is being limited, at least to ask questions in between sessions.
Well, okay, so here's my prediction. There'll be a lot of procedural stuff, a lot of questions and decorum and things like that. Do we do it this way? Do we, go a different way? What's been done in the past? There'll be a little bit of levity, you know, to break the tension, and Trump will say something stupid over Twitter.
That's a good prediction. I think so. And you're right to expect to hear a lot of procedural motions and so on, because none of that had been sorted over the weekend, as it ought to have been.
Well, we have to figure out how to see this, because we can't get C-SPAN in Canada. I don't think we can stream C-SPAN, but we'll try. We'll do what we can. Maybe it'll be covered on Canadian TV, who knows. But we'll probably just be distracted by other things up here, and we're going to find out in just a little bit if it's cold enough for us, because that's one of the reasons we came up here. It's minus 10 Celsius last I checked, I guess we should go outside and walk around as we enter Montreal.
Welcome in Montreal.
To the streets of Montreal, and boy, first of all, it has everything I wanted. There's snow everywhere. We're walking in the snow now. Listen to Kyle's feet. Yeah, we're trudging in the snow. But we did not have an easy landing. And we've done this before, where things get difficult when you arrive in a new place. And actually, it happened to me more than it happened to you, Kyle. Because what happened was, the train arrived in Montreal, as it should have, and we got off the train, like we were supposed to, and we didn't quite know where to go, but that's normal, and we just started getting our bearings in the station. I decided to go and get us some 3-day passes on the metro, because that's a good way to get around. and you can basically just go anywhere on the metro, on the bus. But to get there, to get to where you had to buy the ticket, I had to keep going through all these corridors and open doors and go downstairs and almost go outside. So you were trying to figure out why my phone wasn't working. Apparently it had signed on to the wrong company, whatever. It was just frustrating not being able to connect to anything. That turned out to be a minor problem, because when I got to the metro machine, and keep in mind you had my phone while I was doing this, so I had no phone. I was very far away by this point. And that's when I discovered that I didn't have the credit card that I use for all international purchases, because it doesn't carry a fee. It's also the magical credit card that covers car insurance when you rent a car. Very much the credit card I want to use for everything I do. And didn't have it. And I realized what happened. It all came to me while I was standing there in disbelief in front of that metro machine, that earlier in the day I had been using it, or was about to use it on the phone, and I stuck it in my side pocket of my pants, which I had just bought. Now, here's the thing. I'm really getting kind of screwed by new clothing that I bought. I bought shoes that were half size too big, because that was the only size they had, and I discovered that my socks kept falling while I was walking, and so I had to get bigger socks to fill in the gap. Okay, fine. I got over that hurdle. But the pants, I don't know what it is. There is something about pockets on some kinds of pants that when you sit down, things fall out of them. I don't know why. What's the point? Your pockets should keep things in them, not let them fall out. So I had put my credit card in my side pocket because I wanted to have quick access to it. Unfortunately, at some point, while sitting on the train, it fell out of my pocket. I know this happened because while we were trying to figure it all out, walking around the streets of Montreal, something else fell out of the same pocket just when I bent over to get something. So now I know that my credit card is on that train somewhere. It's the one I very much need to use. It's the one I very much need to have. So I basically called their lost and found, because the train was no longer there. It's in the yard now. But it's going back to New York tomorrow, or Tuesday. It'll be back by the time you hear this. And if they find my credit card, great. If they don't, well, somebody will probably be using it by the time they get back to New York when they find it. This is what happens sometimes. It doesn't always work out. You wind up with all kinds of unexpected challenges. And that's where I found myself for a few minutes in Montreal. And then on top of that, we had to walk through our place that we were staying. And I'm wearing all this heavy clothing, and it just got really, really hard to walk and have these bags. It was so unpleasant and so miserable. But that is part of the whole experience. Sometimes things like this happen, and you just labor through it, and at some point it gets better. And it got better when we dropped off our bags and got food and just calmed down a little bit, figured out alternate ways of doing things, different ways we can accomplish the same tasks. Even if the car doesn't come back, we'll survive. But sometimes things seem pretty dark, and that's part of the traveling experience too.
Especially when you just get to some place, because you're disoriented, you're trying to figure out transit, you have to get to a place, you have bags, so not only are you encumbered with all kinds of gear and luggage, but you look as though you're a tourist.
Are you okay there?
Sorry.
It's been rough.
It's hard to breathe.
It is hard to breathe. Oh, you're getting a 2.
Well, it's we've already said it's negative 12, right?
We didn't say temperature. It's minus 13
yeah.
Celsius, which is, I think that's around 13 Fahrenheit, positive 13 Fahrenheit or something like that. It's around 10 degrees maybe, but I don't feel cold because I'm wearing warm clothing. I actually was overheated walking with the bags, so, you know, I'm getting what I asked for.
Well,
snow, cold.
Oh, don't forget the tractors that were clearing all of the snow off the
main
street.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they don't have snow plows here. They have tractors, and they go fast. And we were crossing the street, and two of them, one on the street and one on the sidewalk, were both coming towards us. Must have been like 40 miles an hour, and they didn't look like they were going to stop.
Yeah, you couldn't see the drivers. You just saw these headlights with these giant machines coming at us.
So we're running across just to go down a side street and get to our destination and get the bags out of our hands. But anyway, the bags and disorientation, it all kind of makes you look like a disheveled tourist, and you start to feel like a disheveled tourist, and then a little thing like...
I'm trying to maneuver through the snow here.
Yeah, it's very crunchy snow.
It's crunchy. Well, it's a lot of snow. Yeah. They had at least a foot of snow here. And that's what you should have in the wintertime. This is all I've been saying. You need to have snow. Okay, fine. Sometimes you wind up having unpleasant experiences in the snow, but it's still worth it.
Yeah. And, I mean, just as we were walking in, we saw someone, like, running or jogging, you know, getting their evening exercise. That's the kind of thing that people just acclimate to in these areas. So we know we can do it, but it has to be something that you work for, and sometimes the universe makes you work just a little bit harder, and one little thing like the card, you know, and you're in the middle of working on the itinerary and getting logistics sorted, and all of a sudden it throws you off a little bit. But it's important to just reassess things and do as much as you can. We would have just gone to the train, but as you said, it was in the yard already. But
well, that's what the guy told me. There's a guy sitting there by the entrance. He said, that train's not there anymore. But he gave me a phone number, and I called, and I left a message with my phone number. So hopefully they'll get back to you tomorrow. And I told him exactly where the card would be, too. You know, what seat it was, what car it was. So, you know, it's an adventure, and if it's not there, or if they don't find it, I guess I have to cancel it. Then I have to go and tell all the merchants that bill every month to that card not to use that number anymore. I don't know if I can get a card in this country on short notice. It gets challenging.
Things will compound very quickly because it's such a useful card to have. So.
Exactly, yeah. And since I've already made the reservation under that card number, I don't know what happens when I show up and I don't have that card.
Yeah.
I have another card that I can also, you know, cover to a degree car rentals, but I don't know if that's going to work because it's not the card I made the reservation under. It gets very complicated.
Well, my idea was that you could show up in person, try to cancel on the previous card, prove that you're the same person, and re-reserve on a new card. I know that sounds insane. And
yeah, when you say re-reserve, that's when I realize, yes, this is insane.
Yeah, you know what? Forget it. It's probably a bad idea. But we'll sort it out. There's always a solution.
How are you feeling with the cold?
It's penetrating a little bit. I'm actually colder than I was earlier. I don't know if it's because I was inside or because I was carrying a lot.
Well, it's also gotten colder than earlier, too, so...
Yeah, it's probably negative 20 or even colder than what we just said, right?
It's still minus 13, like I said 2 minutes ago, so it hasn't changed, I don't think.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, it's affecting my brain, too, so...
Yeah, I'm studying that. It's, oh, look, we're in front of Notre Dame, the one that didn't burn down. I'm sorry, that sounds cruel to say that, but yes, in Montreal, there's a Notre Dame Cathedral. It's got the twin... peaks or whatever you call them.
Bell Tower.
Yeah. It's very nice. I remember coming here as an exchange student in high school and visiting this very cathedral.
It's an impressive thing. It looks like there's even a bit of renovation, or they have fencing up.
Yeah, they're renovating in solidarity with the one in Paris.
Yeah, it's a little unusual.
I'm sorry, it's not right to make jokes, but you know, it's an impressive building, but I guess we can't go in there either.
You should make jokes. Honestly, Notre Dame's going to be fine. Everybody's pouring money into it, and it'll give the Catholics something to do. Okay?
Well, yeah, no, it's going to be fine, but it's still sad. I can be sad about it. It's not something I like to see, you know, history burning down. Speaking of history, the buildings in this city really impress me with the architecture.
New and old.
Yeah, it's a good mix.
Yeah, it's astounding how you see things that look like they're from an older time in Europe right here in North America, and next to, you know, very modern stuff as well. But this is an incredible part. Near this cathedral in this old part of Montreal, it's called Vieux Montreal or Old Montreal. Really neighborhood worth exploring. I know we've looked around a little bit in the city proper. There was some kind of exhibit and gallery and outdoor stuff, and there's no shortage of that now. I was just noticing all the galleries, a lot of, not too pretentious looking, but, you know, some interesting, like, street art gone, you know, mainstream type of thing, and it seems to be everywhere. A lot of studios. I know there's a multimedia part of town just for all of that kind of creative production stuff for film.
We found a radio station. Actually, looking at the TV that we have, there are channels. You might have this on yours where you have channels for radio, but this is different because they have channels for radio, but they describe the radio station. They have a graphic, and they describe the radio station, and one of them is a community station that's been on the air for over 30 years, and it just sounds fascinating. I have to check it out. So hopefully we have time while we're here to visit another community radio station in the middle of the FM dial. I think it's 101 point something, and see how they do things. Maybe we'll get some ideas. Maybe we'll give them some ideas.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great to see, and they, of course, have different systems, and seeing that frequency and an independent station running that is kind of intriguing for us. We know what it's about. It doesn't take us long to figure out. These guys are probably, these people are probably pretty cool.
Well, let's walk around just a little bit more, because it is getting cold. I'm feeling it in my gloves. It's not as cold as it is in many other parts of this country, but it's cold enough, but I feel prepared. It's also a lot easier to walk when you're not carrying bags, because the coat I'm wearing adds at least 10 pounds, maybe 15 pounds to what I'm carrying, and it just really constricts you quite a bit. But speaking about the architecture, I noticed on the train ride in that even garden apartments are built out of stone or brick, and they just seem so much more sturdy than what we see back in the States. We noticed this in Ontario too last year. The buildings just are built to last, to withstand wind and hold in heat and things like that.
Absolutely, the elements and stuff are a heavy consideration, I imagine, when they plan something that people are going to be using, and it's going to have wear and tear and stuff with the climate and everything being so cold. So it's important, and I think we just get too caught up in getting good deals. That sort of American bargain hunter, it shows, and it's not great. You know, it's not always the best thing to have a deal on something. Sometimes you know, spending on the stone and also honoring stuff that's been there for a while and rehabilitating it, you know, refurbishing and remodeling. I mean, it often can be a better result, but you have to care enough to do that kind of thing. And you can't always bargain hunt to build something that is going to take care of you.
Well, yeah, I don't think people really have a choice. Like, you know, if you're getting a house, you don't get to actually build a house yourself and say, no, I want this. I mean, some people do. But the vast majority of us, we take what's there. And what you're saying is right, but the people who need to care are the people building the things in the first place, the people who are setting the rules for everybody else. And we, as consumers, need to know when something is substandard. We need to know if a house is going to blow over in the wind or not last 100 years. There's something wrong with that. Oh, who's this? Somebody holding a baby. It's a statue of somebody holding a baby.
That's a poodle.
Oh, it's a dog. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a poodle.
What kind of statue is somebody holding? And what's wrong with their nose? It looks like their nose got lobbed off, and it's really big. Well, let's see here. What does it say? The English pug and the French poodle. Not the English pug and the French poodle. Why is there a statue for... Okay, is the person supposed to be a dog, too?
I think she's wearing a sort of a funny nose that's pugged, like a pug nose.
Well, that is a funny nose.
So she's English, and she has, like, a pug nose. It's a play on words.
Yeah, it certainly is. There's people across the street watching us and laughing, and they're standing outside a building with a big flag. I'm not sure what that's all about. But the fact that they're standing outside in the cold is really kind of interesting in itself.
Yeah, it says Bank of Montreal.
Bank of Montreal. It's late night on Monday. It's about 10 o'clock at night. No, actually, it's beyond that. It's like 11 o'clock at night. And people are just, maybe they're waiting for a bus or something.
People are getting off like a later shift.
But still not waiting inside. They're waiting outside.
That is bizarre.
And they're not smoking.
Some of them are.
They're just, are they? Okay, then maybe that's it. I thought they were just looking at us. Because we're looking at this crazy statue of somebody holding a poodle who's wearing a pug. Okay, whatever. This is Montreal. As you said, it's artistic.
Yeah.
That can be good or bad.
Yeah, lots of interesting art.
No, I think that's a sign of a really cool city, when you have all kinds of unexpected sights that you don't see coming. What, you see something else?
Oh, no, I was just going to suggest that the development issue is true, but we also demolish a lot of stuff. I mean, just the original Penn Station.
Oh, my God. That was one of the worst things ever.
Right.
Not the station. The demolition was horrible.
So I think it's on the developers, and when you see stuff happening to cool neighborhoods and the buildings aren't being respected or honored in a sort of historic sense, and just something cheap is being thrown up, I think it's something people can hold others to account and say, no, this neighborhood has a certain appeal, a certain look, and this building was a part of that. The other issue, I think, is that Montreal might have a little bit of a richer history as far as its founding, and the architecture is reflecting that more so than Cincinnati or something.
Well, yeah, I don't know why you're picking on Cincinnati, but yeah, you're probably right. It does feel like the city has a lot of history to it, just architecturally. It's amazing. It's so cold out right now. I'm not feeling it. I'm really kind of enjoying it, and I could walk around all night. From the expression that you're giving me in response to that statement, though, you're probably not as comfortable.
I'm okay, but it's when we stop at intersections and stop moving that I start to see like static, and my joints basically lock up, and I start convulsing.
Okay, well, there's a solution. Let's run. Let's run down the street.
And,
what? What's wrong with that? That's how you keep warm, Kyle. Careful, though. Oh, I slid on the ice there. I could slip, but... Okay. We are now lost, because I think we walked well beyond where we're staying. There's nobody in the streets. Yeah, well, this was fun.
We're almost to the Canadian Bank of Commerce. This is like Bank Row.
You know, these are movie trucks across the street. I recognize them from the East Village. they're making a film here. It looks kind of ramshackle, but and there's nothing out in the street, just the trucks parked here. But something's going
probably
on.
It's probably in one of these vacant buildings.
Oh, they're filming inside. Yeah, you can do that. So who knows? That's quite possible, too. Oh, dear. Of course, we're standing in a driveway that a car just had to come up, because that's how things work with us. Well, I think we're getting close to where we have to sign off, because Finn's coming up next, and we have places to be, and we're going to be doing something next week as well. We don't know exactly what, but tune in and find out, I guess. Ideas for what to do in Quebec, what to do in cold weather, maybe some suggestions on how to solve my credit card woes, all kinds of things. Write to us, otw@2600.com, and if you're in Quebec yourself, please send us a note with ideas on things we can do to have fun. We're always open to that.
Always. Always open to it. And I would say I'm having fun. I'm having fun so far. I think it's par for the course to have a little bit of disruption, but I don't think it's anything we won't be able to navigate being the seasoned travelers we are.
I hope so. But, you know, in the moment, I got to say, you don't feel that. When it's happening, you don't have that perspective. And are we actually walking down the right street now?
Yes.
Okay, I don't want to get lost. I mean, I'll survive, because I have a Chinese rabbit hat, and I've got good gloves. They're not great gloves. They're good gloves. When I went to Baffin Island many years ago, they gave me these gloves. I think they were made out of seal skin or something that you definitely can't get in the States. But they were so thin but so warm. And I think when we go to colder places, whenever that may be, that's the kind of thing you have to wear. Although maybe here you have to wear it as well if it gets much colder, which I imagine it can get. But right now this is pretty much what I wanted.
Yeah, I'm happy so far. When my hands are out for a while with these sort of like a fleece or like polyester, like technical glove, it's okay. But when I was holding the phone for navigation, I started to get really cold. My hand was like a bit frostbitten or starting to feel kind of really cold.
Well, if you take your glove off, we can time how long it does take for frostbite to set in. Do you want to do that for the radio folks?
Well, they can't really see it.
No, but they'll hear me describing how your skin is turning different colors.
Is that really mind necrosis and falling off and body parts breaking? That's okay. You know what?
Well, it's not enough to say it. I mean, you know, you have to describe it as it's happening. But it doesn't sound like you're really in the spirit of it.
I'm committed to, you know, talking and doing radio, but that sounds like a science experiment. It sounds like mad science.
Mad science is what gets us through. But yeah, obviously we've been outside too long, so we're going to go inside and figure out what we're going to do next.
Good night.